Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you. Thank you for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to join our brethren over the Word, to study your precious Word, to have your wonderful wisdom in our hearts. Lord, bless my brethren, Lord, with eyes to see and ears to hear in the Spirit. Bless them to be delivered from the traditions of men that have kept them captive. Bless them to be able to be prepared for the things that are coming upon the world, Lord, with your wisdom, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your anointing today to help me to get this across in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brethren, God bless you. We've been doing a series on the end times and different aspects of the end times. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is a revelation that the Lord gave me through the Word of Knowledge and Wisdom some years ago, many years ago. And it's really one that I've never heard anywhere else other than from the Lord, except it comes straight out of the Word. It's one of those things that's hidden in plain view. So, let's look at the mark and image of the beast. It, like I said, it's hidden in plain view because it's right out there in the open. But we've been hearing so much tradition. It's so easy just to accept the tradition instead of going and digging for yourself to see what God will show you. God can show us such awesome things, folks, I tell you. And so one of the questions people ask me, you know, especially when I share on the mark of the beast, they ask me, well, will there be a physical mark? You know, because I share about the spiritual mark. And, you know, at this point, God is going to show great mercy to people that don't deserve it, frankly. Because he could hide this thing very good so that almost no one sees it. But he's going to make it plain to the world and plain to the many apostate Christians who are going to actually take the mark of the beast. What it is. And yet, even then, they're going to take it because it's a repetition of history. And the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. 10 of the 12 tribes worshipped the image of the beast. And folks, there's a great falling away, according to 2 Thessalonians, coming in our day. A great revival and a great falling away. So God is going to reveal in this physical realm that this thing is the mark, and still they're going to take it. Now listen, I want to tell you what the Lord told me, and that is that the spiritual mark of the beast is the foundation for the physical mark. Those that take the spiritual mark or have the spiritual mark will also take the physical mark because it's in their nature to do it, because they can't do anything else but be obedient to their own nature. You know, they have no faith in God to be able to live through a wilderness experience or even enter into a wilderness experience, which the Bible demands of those who don't take the mark. They won't be able to buy and sell with the world. These people don't have faith to walk by faith as their provider. And so they're going to ultimately end up taking the mark for themselves and for their children. God is going to identify them publicly as members of the beast body and separate them from his own. Did you know that the mark of the beast identifies the beast body? The people that take it, it identifies who they belong to. Just like the mark of God, which we'll talk about also, identifies the members of his body. Because the mark of God is upon his people. You know, even though many of these sons of perdition have heard of the chip in the hand or in the forehead, they will not be able to resist it, for they're going to be reprobate. They're going to be rejected by God for their life. They've heard about it. They know about it. I'm not going to talk to you much about the physical mark today. I will say that there are two governments on this earth that dispense the mark of the beast. Number one is a secular harlot called America. And their secular false prophet government. They are creating the physical mark of the beast, the chip, yes, to impose it upon the world. But also, there is a religious harlot of apostate Christianity with their religious false prophet. That means the government of the apostate religions. They're dispensing the spiritual mark throughout the world. And I'm going to prove both of these points to you as we go along from the scriptures. The mark is primarily spiritual. There's a mark of God and there's a mark of the beast. They're opposites, but they're the same. They're a mirror image of one another. God's kingdom is like that. It's a mirror image of the devil's. God's on one side, the devil's on the other, so to speak. In Revelation 14:1, "And I saw and behold the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name." The word name here is the Greek word for nature, character, and authority. "And the name of his Father written on their foreheads." And your forehead is where your mind is, right? Christians take a spiritual mark that is the nature, character, and authority of Christ in their minds. Now, I know that you don't believe that the people that are walking around in the tribulation period are going to have the name of the Father and the Son written across their forehead. That'll pretty well identify them, wouldn't it? I don't know how much room on your forehead you have to write names, but most people don't believe that that's physically going to happen. They see this as a spiritual mark. But yet, just a few verses from this, Revelation 14:1, is another verse that talks about the mark of the beast. In the same text, the spiritual mark of the beast is, again, his nature, character, and authority in the minds and works of the people. Revelation 13:16. "And he causeth all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given unto them a mark on their right hand." By the way, your right hand represents your works, especially spiritual works. "On the right hand or upon their foreheads." And you know what your forehead represents is your mind. Okay. Why or on the forehead? Because, folks, your works identify what's in your mind. And your mind determines what's in your works. You only need a mark in one place to identify who you are. And verse 17 says that no man should be able to buy or sell save he that hath the mark. Even the name. Notice, the mark. Even the name. The word name there is, again, nature, character, and authority. But this time it's talking about the name of the beast. Nature, character, and authority of the beast. Where is it? In the hand and in the forehead. Again, I'm talking about the spiritual mark, not the physical mark. Okay? So the nature, character, and authority of the beast in the mind and in the works is what we're talking about. As opposed to Revelation 14:1, of the nature, character, and authority of Christ in the mind and in the works. See, now everybody points out that Revelation 14:1 is spiritual. It can't be physical because they don't think Christians are all going to have these names on their forehead. But they see that this Revelation 13:16 is physical. They don't see that it's spiritual. Now, how could they be just a few verses apart and they're not both be spiritual? This is my point. Okay? Conversely, the same verse in Exodus is concerning God's mark. The same verse. Revelation 13:16 was talking about the mark of the beast. And now the same verse in Exodus 13 and 16 says, "And it shall be for a sign upon thy hand," which is, of course, your works, "and for frontlets between thine eyes." What's between your eyes? Your forehead, your mind, right? Now, what is he talking about? Well, the same text is in Deuteronomy 11, 18. So let me go there because there's more description. And it says, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand," which is your works, "and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes," which is your forehead or your mind, right? Frontlets. What is a frontlet here? A frontlet. Well, first of all, he said, "You lay up these my words in your heart." And he described it as frontlets between your eyes. A frontlet means to bind around. You know, the Jews had these, what was called in the New Testament, in the Greek, phylacteries. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, they made broad their phylacteries. What was he talking about? Well, they were bragging about how spiritual they were, basically. And they used these phylacteries that they tied across their forehead or across their hand. And inside these little compartments, they put scriptures. What would scriptures across your forehead and on your hand represent? Except the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, manifested in your mind and in your works. And why would the Jews, you know, think this was super spiritual to have these broader phylacteries with more verses up there? Because, of course, they knew that this meant that they were keeping in remembrance and in their works the Word of God. In fact, they believed that these were charms that would ward off evil or demons. Now, if this was spiritual, that you actually did have the Word of God in your mind and in your works, it obviously would be just that. It would ward off evil or demons, wouldn't it? It's interesting how what they saw was in the letter, but when it's truly manifested, we see it in the Spirit. So, the words upon our forehead and upon our hand represents also, we saw, the name. The name on the name is what? The nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ is what? It's His Word. And surely we want that manifested in our minds and in our works. That's the mark of God. That identifies the Christian, doesn't it? Surely. Conversely, the false word through the false prophets. Now, the true word came through the true prophets and brought forth the mind of Christ and the works of Christ. Okay? But the false word through the false prophets manifests in the hand, represents the works of the flesh, and in the forehead, it represents the mind of the flesh. Now, you know what happens to we who, if we walk after the flesh, we must die, the Bible says in Romans 8. The mind of the flesh is death. Does the mark of the beast say that a person's going to die? Absolutely, and tormented forever and ever in the presence of the angels, the Bible says. But now we're talking about a word manifesting in the mind and in the works. The word of God and the word of the beast, or the word of Satan manifested. Okay? You know, ear-tickling doctrines do not manifest the fear of the Lord or give faith to be holy. Many of the false doctrines take away the motivation to holiness, the motivation to walk and to think the ways of God. You know, I'm just thinking of a couple: unconditional eternal security. Does that promote holiness, or does that promote living any way you want to live because you're still going to heaven? Obviously. So, do you know what? You can preach a word that will actually bring destruction. It'll bring forth the manifestation of the mark of the beast. Revelation 13 and 16. "And he causeth all, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, the free, and the bond, that there be given unto them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead." And he is who here? He is the corporate false prophet that we talked about last week and the week before, that the UN is raising up a leadership, a false leadership for their one world church. In one case, it was called the UR, United Religions. And I want to tell you that the false prophet starts out under the UN in the end time, and it goes right on down to the preacher in the pulpit. This is the false prophet. It's the leadership of the harlot. It's called the false prophet. It's not an individual. Never is in the scripture. Jesus said there was, never said any such thing about a false prophet coming. There's no place in the Bible that says that. Jesus said there would be many false prophets, and they are. They're in the pulpits, believe it or not, of Christianity. False prophets. And he causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free and bond, that there be given unto them a mark. Now the word mark here is the Greek word charagma. It's where we get our word character from. Character. You know a character? You know, like a typewriter character? Key, a key, which is a character. To give them a mark or a charagma on their right hand, which represents the works, or upon their forehead, which represents the minds. Charagma means the act of being stamped or impressed or engraved by a character. A character, which is a mark, is the same thing as mark. A character is a tool for recreating its own image like a typewriter key does on a page, or like a notary stamp does on a page. A character recreates its own image. The typewriter key creates its own image on the paper. What is a recreated religious image? We call it an icon, don't we? The mark creates the image. Listen to what the scriptures is teaching here. It's very, very plain. The mark or the character creates the image or the icon. The word image is icon of the beast. Did you know that, folks? The mark that's being given to humanity is creating the image of the beast, just like a typewriter character recreates an icon on the page, recreates its own image on that page. Now we're talking about recreating in the mind and the works of people using a character, bringing forth an icon in those people. Who is the image of God, folks? Who is the image of the beast? Well, we saw in Daniel chapter 2 and 3, it's the image of the beast is all humanity. They are in the image of the beast. So who is in the image of Christ? His body is his image. So the mark actually identifies who is the image of Christ, and another mark identifies who is in the image of the beast. The image of the beast is his body, just as the image of Christ is his body. We're being created in the image of one or the other, in our works and in our mind. And as we saw, it's the word that goes into our mind and our works that gives us the image of Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the word of the beast from the abyss that brings people into his image. He's creating people in his image too. So we see, basically speaking, what we see here is the character, which is the mark, is the word, is the name, which is also meaning character. It's interesting that the word character is being used there because we know that character is also the nature of a person, right? So if we talk about the character being the mark, manifested by the word, bringing forth the name of Christ, then this creates Christ's image in his body's mind and works. Image being the word icon. Now, if we're talking about the character being the mark, manifested by the word, as the name or nature of the beast, then it creates the beast's image in his body's mind and works. And we get all this from the meaning of the words. The character or the mark creates the image or the icon. It's very plain. You know, the apostates don't know that they are taking the spiritual mark of the beast from their false prophets. Just as we saw in Mark's dream, which I shared with you last time, I'm going to share a piece of that again with you. Mark had this awesome dream that he came into our meeting one day. I was teaching on the mark of the beast and the one world government and all these things, one world religion and all that. And he came in and he said he just had a dream about this. Hadn't seen him in years. And he came in, just had a dream about this. I said, well, share it with me. Here's part of it. He said, I saw on TV that the whole world was rejoicing because a great agreement had been made to have one church. Well, folks, that's exactly what the UN is doing with the UR. They're putting together all the leaders of the apostate religions of the world to bring together to have an agreement. Okay. And Mark went on to say, then I went to see this one world church. It was so big, I couldn't even see the other end of it. I happened to look in the wrong door, and I noticed a giant ministers' conference. They were being shown a film on how to scan a beam of light, which is what? The Word of God. The light is the Word, right? Across the foreheads of their congregation, giving them the mark of the beast without them knowing it. Uh-oh. What kind of mark can you receive without knowing it? The spiritual mark of the beast. And what are they doing? The ministers are doing it. The false prophet is doing it. The false prophet who sits in the pulpits are teaching people with the word how to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. The false prophets are doing it. You see, this is a fiction. This is a truth that's stranger than fiction, isn't it? The truth is there so plainly that the false prophet is the one that passes on the image of the beast. And in this case, their people don't even know it. The false prophet's words. Remember, the word is the mark, right? The false prophet's words give the beast's spirit to the image of his body. Listen carefully. Causing it to speak as he does. That's straight out of Revelation 13 and 15. He says, and it was given unto him, that is the corporate false prophet, to give breath. The word for breath, by the way, in the Greek and in the Hebrew is spirit. You can put spirit there as easily as you can put breath. And it was given unto him, the corporate false prophet, to give spirit to it, even to the image, that's the word icon, to the beast. That the image, that is icon, of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not be worshipped, as should not worship the image, icon, of the beast, should be killed. Now, how is it, friends, that, you know, most of Christianity has taught that this image of the beast is some statue? Now, that'd be a neat trick, get a statue to talk. But the truth is, we found out from the various scriptures that the image of the beast is not a statue, it's the people who are members of the body of the beast. And what we're seeing here is that the false prophet gives spirit to these people in order to put to death the people that don't worship the image of the beast. Wow, what happened in Jesus' day? Those Jews put to death Jesus and his disciples. They didn't know they were members of the body of the beast. Of course, they were in bed with the Roman government, so we should know that the harlot's in bed with the beast, like Ahab and Jezebel, right? So what those leaders preached to those people caused them to speak against the disciples and Jesus, caused them to put to death the disciples of Jesus. History just repeats. Listen, the false prophets and their word recreates the spirit in the image of the beast. They put the spirit in the image of the beast. Now look, in the same way, true prophets' words, which is again the mark, give Christ's spirit to the image of his body, causing it to speak as he does. You see, if I preach to you nothing but the Word, and the Word goes into you, and you begin to speak as the image of Christ, which is what you are, then who put that Spirit of life in you? John 6 and 63. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit. Same word for breath here. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit or breath. And they are life. Listen, folks. All words are spirit and life. It's whose spirit and what kind of life that we're talking about. Now, I'll give you an example. You've seen cult leaders. How that what they speak and preach to the people under them puts the same exact spirit in those people. You've seen fanatical Islam. We just had on the news a couple times here recently how that Muslims from America went and listened to these fanatical Muslims who are terrorists, and suddenly these people who had never believed in killing or didn't kill anybody were blowing people up. How did that spirit get in them? They listened to the words of these people, and their spirit got into them. Very much the way we listen to the words of Jesus, and His Spirit gets in us. You take the denominations. What makes a person a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic? It is the words that they hear that they so strictly hold to those certain regulations and become a person with a spirit of Baptistism or Methodism or Pentecostalism or whatever. You know, it's the words that they hear. You know, the Bible says each seed brings forth after its own kind, doesn't it? Each seed brings forth after its own kind. You remember the parable of the sower? The seed that Jesus went out to sow was His Word. That Word that Jesus sowed could only bring forth Christians. Now, if you go to one of the sects of Christianity, you might end up being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Charismaniac or something, you know. But you get that because you listen to their words. The Word is giving spirit to the image. You see, again, the truth is not nearly as strange as the fiction of giving breath to a statue somewhere. The truth is very plain that the words of Christ give spirit to the body of Christ, which is His image. And the words of the beast give spirit to the body of the beast, which is His image. And who is it that's preaching? The false prophet in the pulpit is causing people to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. They are putting the spirit in the people to walk in the flesh instead of the steps of Jesus Christ. True prophets preach the true word, which is, of course, Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, the character. You know, Jesus is the character. Jesus is a character sent by God to recreate His image in our mind and works. Listen to the verse. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the effulgence of His glory and the very image of His substance. Image. The word image here is not icon. The word image here is from the Greek word character. Wow. Jesus is the character of the substance of God. Now, what's a character? Remember what a character is. A character recreates its own image on something else. Jesus was the character of God, which is the Word of God, that came to recreate His image on our mind and works. Clearly, this is all coming together and making sense from a parable that was meant to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. It's clearly coming together, clear. You know, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." The people who believe the word do the works. They have him manifested in their hand. They have the mind of the Spirit. They have him manifested in their mind. So Jesus came to recreate God in every one of us if we would believe his word, which is the character. Once again, the character that recreates the icon. Again, if you looked at the character on a typewriter and you looked at it very closely, you would see that the image is there. But it's created to put that image on something else. Jesus was created by God to be his character, to create his image, his icon. And we are to be that image. I want to tell you, if you're not for me, you're against me. You're either receiving the character of Jesus Christ or you're receiving the character of the world, of the beast. One or the other. The mark or character of the word reproduces its image in us who believe it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, who is what? The Word. We behold in this mirror the Word, the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into the same image. Wow, as we look at, as we behold the Word, the Lord God, who is the Word, we're transformed into the same image, and here's the word icon. See, get your eyes on the Word, which is the character of God, and you will be the icon, the image of Jesus Christ. But it's the same for the devil and his kingdom. Exactly the same. It's just a mirror image of this, you see. So you'll be transformed into the same image, the icon, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And James 1:23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror." In other words, he doesn't have his eyes on the word of God. He doesn't have his eyes on the Lord. He's not trusting that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. He doesn't see Jesus in the mirror, which is the gospel. You know, the gospel is that I don't live anymore. Christ now lives in me. Well, a person that sees their natural face in the mirror, it says here, they're a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. They don't have the image of Christ. They are not the image of Christ. The image of the Christ is one who gets his eyes on the word, and that word is manifested in their works and in their mind. We've all borne, listen to this, we've all borne the image of the beast. Every last one of us is born the image of the beast. And it's only by the word of God that we take on Christ's image. 1 Corinthians 15:46-50 says, "Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, which is, of course, the born-again man, is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." As we, listen to this, as we have borne the image, the icon of the earthy, which is the beast, folks, let us, which is the Greek word there, not we shall, but let us, because it's not true that everybody that reads that shall. It says, let us, the Greek words, also bear the image of the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, which is the beast, let us also bear the image of the heavenly, which is Christ. You're either from below or you're from above. You have taken on the words of Christ to come into his image, or you've taken on the words and the nature and the character of the beast, and you've come into his image. Every man is judged according to what? His works, Jesus said. What's the hand? That's right. Your works identify you. Not what you say, not whether you say Jesus is your Savior. Your works identify you as a member of the body of the beast or the member of the body of Christ. Now the verse goes on to say, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You see, folks, there are people, even in the body of Christ, who don't believe the word of God, they believe the word of the world. They have more in common with the world than they do Christ. And that word has recreated in them the ability to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And they are members of the beast. It doesn't matter that they're in the temple of God. Does that make any sense to you that the beast is in the temple of God? Weren't we warned that this was going to happen? That the beast would be in the temple of God? So the spiritual mark and image of the beast is curable through Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you the physical mark is not curable. The physical mark is put upon people who by that time should have taken on the image of Christ and did not. And God's saying, enough, spew out the lukewarm. He spit them out of his body. The true gospel exchanges the earthly image for the heavenly. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Seeing that you have put off the old man. Now, how do you see that you've put off the old man? You have to see that by faith, don't you? If it's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me, you see by faith that you've put off the old man. He said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. In Romans 6, didn't he? You're seeing that by faith. You're accepting it by faith. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. So he's saying, seeing that you have put off the old man, which is the beast, the Antichrist beast. You know what the old man is in Romans 6 and 6? Have you ever looked at that? Romans 6 and 6? Let me read that to you. What is Romans 6 and 6? It's the sixth book, Romans, the sixth chapter, and the sixth verse, which says, knowing this, that our old man... Wow, there's the image of the beast right there. That's the beast. 6, 6, and 6. And man here is the sixth word too. So actually you got 4 sixes there. Knowing this, that the old man. So, seeing that you have put off the old man, that's the Antichrist beast. Yes, individually, folks, we are casting off this old man. See? Just as all Christians as a body are casting off the corporate old man. Okay. Seeing that by faith you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man. Who's the new man? Christ in you. Is this casting off the mind and the works of the flesh for the minds and the works of Christ? Yes, that's exactly what it is. And you have put on the new man that is being renewed or recreated unto knowledge, which is what? The Word. We're being recreated in the image of Christ through the Word. And the verse goes on, after the image or icon of him that created him. Wow. So we're coming out of the image of the beast and into the image of Christ. Should we be sanctified? Should we be believing the Word, which very few Christians are doing? It is the only method God gives us to cast off the old life and put on the new. If you believe your religion, folks, it won't do you a bit of good. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's powerful. It's living. It's active. The Word of God recreates Jesus Christ in His people. The word of man, the word of traditions. Listen what Jesus said to the Jews who had studied God's word for all their lives. You're of your father the devil. It's his works that you love to do. They were identified by their works. And yet, they had the Bible. And they claimed to believe it. Is it going to be the same in our day? Yes. Multitudes are believing that they are Christian and they are not. because they walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. They have the spiritual mark of the beast. They're just waiting to take the physical mark of the beast to identify them. That's what the Bible calls the great falling away. The son of perdition in the temple of God. Who was Judas? A son of perdition in the temple of God. There are multitudes of sons of perdition in the temple of God. Again, history is just repeating. And the falling away is going to prove who they are. They're going to take the physical mark because they already have the spiritual mark. They have no way to do anything else. The mark is the name, which is the character. You see? What character are you receiving? What mark are you receiving? What character? What nature are you receiving? That's what identifies you as a member of the body of the beast or the member of the body of Christ. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked, the Bible says. You see, the people who do abide in Christ, they have his works. Those people who want to say that they belong to Christ, they say they have faith, but they don't have works. Can that faith save them? That's what James questions. Absolutely not, folks. Faith without works is dead. If you are a member of the body of Christ, your works are going to show it. Your mind is going to show it. The traditions of men in religion exchange the heavenly image for the earthly. Romans 1, 22 through 25. Listen. Professing themselves to be wise, kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that trusted in them, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God. There's the image of God right there. For the likeness of an image, icon, of corruptible man, who is what? The beast. They exchanged the image of God for the image of the beast. These people who had their own wisdom. It's so clear, isn't it? How could these people who thought themselves to be the sons of God be sons of the devil? This is what they did, folks. They were members of the body of the beast when they went into the temple of God. They exchanged the image of God for the likeness of the image of corruptible man. These people made God in their own image. And it went on to say, they exchanged the truth of God, which is the Word, for a lie. You see, there it is again. You have to give up the Word to give up the image of God. If you accept the lie, you accept the image of the beast. Because the lie brings forth the image of the beast, but the truth brings forth Jesus Christ. Wow! It all starts fitting together, doesn't it? God's awesome. And they worshipped and served the creature, which is what? The image of the beast. Rather than the Creator, which is what? The image of God. Wow, the northern 10 tribes worshipped the image of the beast. Only 2 tribes worshipped the true Lord and the true temple, in the true temple. Folks, that is about to happen again because multitudes of people who call themselves Christians are not. They are not. Christian is Christ-like. It's what it meant in Jesus' day. It's what it means in our day. You must, through the pure Word of God, receive that character upon your forehead or your mind and upon your hand or your works in order for you to be the image of Christ. If you receive anything else, any other word that's not the Word, since each seed brings forth after its own kind, any other word brings forth anti-Christ. What does anti mean? It means 2 things. It means against Christ, and it means in the place of Christ. In the place of Christ. What does that mean? Well, it was kind of like when God's people came out of Egypt and went into the wilderness and created the golden calf. And they call that golden calf in Exodus 32, 4 and 5, Elohim, or Yahweh. God's people did that. They worshipped the image of the beast and they called it by his name. They were so deceived. You know, if you go out there and look at those religions, do they reflect anything you see in the book of Acts, folks? Why is it that they are so different? They call themselves Christians, yet those were Christians in the book of Acts. Why are they so different? Why don't they look like those people in the book of Acts? This is a strong delusion, folks. This is a strong delusion. Jesus told us who believers were. They were those who did his works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. They have the character in their hand. They do the works of Jesus. They have the character in their mind. They do the works of Jesus. See, we've been lied to. We've been deceived. Christ is the Word that came down out of heaven, John 6 says. And the beast is the Word from the abyss, Revelation 11. John 8 and 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world. And who is he talking to? And I am not of this world. Who is he talking to? He was talking to the people who were called the people of God. And he called them, you're of your father the devil. Is it true today? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 tells us that everything that happened to those Jews was just a type and a shadow for we who live in these end of days. They were a type and a shadow of what was going to happen to the church. History is repeating, it's just repeating on a larger scale, that's all. Multitudes of people who claim to be Christian are not. They are, in fact, members of the body of the beast in the temple of God. It's proven by their works, it's proven by their thoughts, by their mind of the flesh, and by their works of the flesh, they are proven who they are. Am I trying to discourage any one of you who are caught up in your sins and want deliverance? Not at all. You have opportunity through faith in the Word of God to depart from every sin. And those people that tell you otherwise are liars. They are the ones. They are the false prophets who are sowing the seed of the beast in the church. Just like Mark saw. They use the Word of God. They beam it across your forehead and give you the mark of the beast without you even knowing it. They're teaching you to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. You know, in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. And in verse 4, it says, then the herald cried aloud, to you it's commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, fall down and worship the golden image. the herald cried aloud. The herald here is the only Greek word in that text that I've found. It's the same word in the New Testament for preacher. Then the preacher cried aloud, to you it's commanded, peoples, nations, and languages. And were the Jews included in that? Yes, they were. Did they bow down? Yes, they did. All but three of them. To you it's commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. And verse 5, fall down and worship the golden image. What golden image are we talking about? The image of the golden calf? Yeah. The image of the beast in Daniel 3? Yeah. Same thing. Just a different parable. It's the same thing. It's rich apostate Christianity. That's why it's golden. Rich apostate Christianity. Fall down and worship it. Some of you people are worshiping a denomination or a sect that's antichrist. Or a TV preacher that's antichrist. The command to worship the image in Revelation 13 will come from the pulpits in the form of a deception that's so strong that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Matthew 24 and 24. If you're looking for a deception that's strong, folks, it's going to be revealed in the Word. I'm revealing it to you right now. I'm telling you that recreating Baptists and Methodists is not necessarily the same as recreating Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? Recreating Pentecostals is not the same thing. We need to repent and depart from the harlots' houses. We need to receive the pure Word of God, which is the only thing that can bring forth Jesus Christ. Remember the parable of the sower? The sower went forth to sow, sowed the seed. The seed was the Word of God. It brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. You know that only the Word can bring forth Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Only the Word of God. Only the Word is the character that brings forth the image in the body of Christ. Only the Word is the character that brings forth the name in the hand and the forehead. The name being the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ in the hand and the forehead. Only the Word can do that. You know, if you got a preacher who stands up there and quotes two or three verses and goes on with his own psychology, and get away from him. Get somewhere where they're teaching the Word. Get into the Word of God. If you can't do anything else, stay home and read the Word of God. The Word of God will impart to you the nature of Jesus Christ. Love the Word enough that you won't trust anybody else. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why does he say that? Because a lot of people are making mistakes, folks. They're trusting themselves to some idol, some religious institution run by men. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Get His Word in your hearts. It's the only thing that's preparing you for the time to come. There's no curse on Jesus Christ, folks. The curse is about to swallow the world. But there's no curse on Jesus. And if He lives in you, there'll be no curse on you either. Only the seed of Jesus brings forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's the only thing that's acceptable in the kingdom of heaven. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. The Word that came out of heaven is what's going back. Put the Word in your heart. Let Jesus come in you. Come the epiphany before the parousia. The Lord is coming in an epiphany, a shining forth from His people before He comes for His people. That's the parousia. The epiphany before the parousia. Remember that. They've been teaching a rapture of all fly away here, folks. Everybody's going to go to heaven, no matter how filthy they are, as long as they call themselves Christians. It's a lie. They don't belong in heaven. Thank God they won't be there unless they repent. In 1 Kings 10 out of 12 tribes worshiped the image of the beast, and their ministers weren't Levites. Is it today true? It's true. Most of the preachers in the pulpit are not ministers of God. They're not Levites, just like in the Scriptures. History is repeating. You wonder why there's a great falling away? That's why. These people were ordained by the Pharisees' Bible colleges, but they weren't necessarily sent and trained by the Lord Jesus. You know the image of the calf in Exodus 32, 4 and 5? It was called Elohim and Yahweh. By God's people. And then in verse 33, he said, I'm going to blot them out of my book. Now, some of you don't believe that that's scriptural, that God can blot you out of his book. But it's a fact, and it's going to happen. Multitudes of people who think themselves to be God's people will be blotted out of his book. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said they wouldn't serve that king's gods. And they wouldn't worship his image. You know why they didn't bow down? It's because they didn't eat the dainties. They were offered the king's food. They were offered the beast food. They wouldn't eat the beast food, and they wouldn't bow down to the image. Evidently, the rest of them ate the food because they all bowed down. What's the food? It's the Word of God. If you partake of the word of this world or this worldly religion, you will bow down to the image of the beast. And you're doing it now. And they wouldn't partake of his wine. The wine represents nature, right? Right? Remember the wine in the Lord's Supper? It represents his nature. It's his blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And these three Hebrews, they wouldn't partake of the king's wine. They wouldn't partake of the king's food. They didn't want to be, they called it defiled. Daniel chapter 1, 5 through 16. They didn't want to be defiled with the king's dainties or the king's wine. Yes, if we partake of any other wine than the wine of Jesus Christ, of His nature, we're going to be defiled. If we partake of any other food besides the Word of God, it can't possibly bring forth Jesus Christ in us. God bless you, folks. Partake of the hidden manna.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.